Thank you, Brother Carl. Welcome again, everyone. Glad to see you guys here today. I hope all of you return this afternoon, and we can all eat together and enjoy in on the festivities, see the kids run around. Maybe some of us will run around ourselves, who knows. Should be a fun time, and I'm sure the weather is going to permit. We won't even talk about the weather. Yamin and Carolyn are fine. Carolyn was feeling a little lightheaded, maybe. So she was going to go to the house and rest some. So pray for them, but they are doing okay. We are going to move into Philippians today. Our verse was this verse for VBS. So all the kids memorized it. I made it say it multiple times. It's in the Concrete and Crane song. And we're going to look at this verse as a church family together this morning. So it's Philippians 1:6 is where we'll be if you want to find that. How many in here are go-getters?
Used to be.
Used to be. Yeah. You get everything done quickly and efficiently and without hesitation. You don't need projects lingering. You're at places early. All these things. Does this describe every one of us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many of us in here are procrastinators? Mastered the art of waiting to the last moment to get something done. Probably used to be homework, and now it's housework. Maybe it's grocery trips or landscaping or yard work, whatever you're putting off. Maybe it's waiting too long to get up and get ready in the mornings. We probably all do that. Sometimes we wait too long to get things done. Sometimes we don't get things done because we wait too long. Or we're not where we need to be because we wait too long. That describes probably most of us at some point. We're going to see some of this in our text as we turn our attention to God this morning. God is not a procrastinator. Sometimes we think He is in our lives. He never waits too long and always gets things done. Everything planned before time even began. Knew us before we were us. Think about that. Not on our time, but His. We will see this planning and completing of tasks in our text this morning in two parts. Every work has a beginning, and every work has a completion. Philippians 1, verse 6. Let's stand together. He reads God's word. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day again. We thank You for everything in our lives, including Your holy word. We thank You for Scripture. We thank You that we can lean in it to guide us. We can study it to learn about You and Your Son. Be with us now as we do this together. Open our minds and our hearts for what You have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We heard this verse quite a bit the last few days in this place. It's in the theme song. They were reciting it off of this poster. It was our foundational VBS verse. It's foundational not only for Concrete and Cranes this past week, but for all of our lives. We're going to get into this, but first, where are we in our text? We just jumped right into Philippians. This is Philippians, so it's the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. This was Paul's first church in this area, which is Europe. First time he's planted one this far west. It's actually in modern-day Greece, for you geography majors out there. Paul is currently in prison and writing to this church. Ironically, this letter is often called the letter of joy. It's full of calls to joy, even though he is currently in prison while writing it. He even speaks of joyfully praying for these people just before our verse today. Any of you ever found joy in being arrested? You don't want to raise your hands because you're admitting you got arrested, right? No, probably not. There's probably not much joy to be found in getting arrested. So Paul's in prison writing to this church about joy. The beginning of this letter also tells us that Timothy is with Paul. Who is Timothy? We have two letters from Paul written to him in our Bibles. He's the young man that Paul left in charge of the church in Ephesus, which means Ephesians is also to him. So Timothy and Paul write this letter with joy and encouragement. In our verse today, he's telling them that what God began in them, and Paul was there in their beginning as a church, what God began in them while he was there, God will surely complete. This is where we begin our study this morning. Every work has a beginning. I am sure of this. This is how this verse begins. Any of us ever been sure of anything? We feel like it, right? Sometimes we get a good feeling that we express in confidence, but that's not this. Have we ever been actually certain of something? Probably many things come to mind, but as Christians, there's one thing that we should be sure of: our salvation. Why are we sure of this? Students, Jesus. We believe in the Bible, right? This is another reason, though it's not the most important reason. The reason we are sure of our salvation is because of God's Spirit working within us.
Amen.
This is why we believe in Jesus, the Son of God, believe in God's holy word, because of God's Spirit. Nothing but darkness until light from the Spirit. Paul told the Corinthians that our faith is foolish from the outside. From the perspective of the unbelievers, foolish. But to those who believe, it is the very power of God. Foolish to those who do not believe. Scoffed at by unbelievers. But to us, the very power of God. The only difference between the two is the Spirit of God in the believer. The only difference, no one person better than another. Oh, how important the Spirit is, and how little we speak of it. That's going to change because next week we're going to move into the book of Acts, which is going to show us God's Spirit moving in His people and His church. For now, know that when Paul says he is sure, it is because he walks and preaches and writes all by being led by God through His Spirit. Amen. What is he sure of? When God begins something, He completes it. Nothing comes between God and His purposes for creation. Nothing. If we think something can stand between God and what He wills, then we have too little a view of God. If we need to find the correct view of God, we just only need to read the Psalms. Psalm 90, verse 2 says this: "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Do you hear the words? Before the mountains were ever brought forth. Mount Everest, the mountain that people go to every year and die on just trying to climb it. Too cold to survive. Your lungs freeze when you take a breath. God pulled that from the earth. He formed the earth. He formed the universe. From everlasting to everlasting means He has always existed and always will after everything is gone. This is the God we're talking about. Psalm 115, verse 3. "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases." In their terms, in their context, the heavens were out of their reach. It was the furthest thing they could think of, out of sight. Though God is out of sight, here He does all that He pleases. This is the God we talk about. This is who we're talking about when we say He's beginning something. What beginning are we speaking of? We have many beginnings given to us by God, right? The beginning of everything. In the beginning, God created. He spoke into existence everything that has ever existed. Not only this, but His power of creation, how He created, was through the Son. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word is Jesus. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." With God and was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians adds that He holds all things together. Has existed always, and everything created through Him and held together by Him. Can you picture that? No. This is our Savior. We also have the beginning of our lives, our very existence individually, guided by God. He told Jeremiah that He knew him before He formed him. The psalmist says, "We are knitted together by Him and fearfully and wonderfully made." Every one of us known by God before we were formed. Think about that. Every one of us formed by God and held together by the Son of God. And yet our generation will go down as killing the most people ever known by God. He knows everyone before they're formed. What am I talking about? It's not the Civil War. It's not the Holocaust or any other atrocity that we can think of. Our generation, anyone who grew up in this room, our generation and the unborn.
Amen.
Look at God's Word and justify our actions as a people. You cannot. Oh God, have mercy on us. We also have the beginning of the redemption process. This began, all of mankind, a part of creation. And just like creation, all of mankind stands fallen, stands as sinful. No one good since Adam and Eve took that bite. Every one of us would like to go back and smack that fruit out of their hands. But at the same time, we know that every one of us would have done it eventually. Every single one of us. Now, we may do good things in this life. These things are measured as good by us. Anyone can do good, but no one can be good apart from Jesus. Yeah. All are sinners and all have fallen short of the glory of God. This is what Paul tells the Romans. He says, it does not matter who you are or what you have done. You will stand as sinful and fallen before your Creator and will face judgment. This is why Jesus came. All deserve punishment of God, but all who believe in Jesus escape this punishment because Jesus took it upon himself. This is the gospel. The cross stands tall, and all who look to it and the Savior who once hung from it will be judged no more. Will escape hell. Will find themselves in eternity for heaven, or in heaven for eternity. Not because of any good deed, but because of the Son and the Son alone. These are all beginnings, and there are others. But this is not the focus of this text. This text speaks to the beginning of the church in Philippi and the beginning of salvation for the individual. This is why it says a good work in you. He is speaking to Christianity, to the Christian, to the believer in the church. It's the same process, really. God's Holy Spirit indwells his people. Paul says God began this work, which means people are transformed by God's Spirit within them.
Amen.
This is what moves us and changes us and brings us to Jesus, and this same Spirit is in his church. We know this because we must have his Spirit to be his people, and the church is just his people gathered. Remember last week, now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, Christian freedom, his people. The church is his people, united for worship, united for mission, his people standing together as a beacon of hope for the surrounding communities. This is why Paul never settled in one location. He would spend some time there and prepare the church and its leaders for continuing on after his departure. Then he would leave to plant another beacon. This was Paul's heart, his passion. He wanted everyone to know God. He was once Saul and knew passion, but it was used for his own purposes. Jesus made him Paul and filled him with the Spirit and his passion. And this passion would never waver for him. This is how we should feel in this place, standing as God's people. We should feel this passion for Jesus, and we should feel the burden and the priority and the necessity of being God's beacon. Jesus was the light of the world, and we hold this light too. This light that we hold is the gospel, and it is how the Christian has a beginning. Hear the gospel and be changed by it. This is the beginning. The gospel reveals us to be sinners. The gospel reveals us to be headed to hell. Then the gospel reveals Jesus as sinless. Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus punished in our place. Jesus defeating the grave. The gospel reveals all these things so that our hearts can be awakened and be Spirit-filled. It reveals these things so that we can be believers saved from hell and headed to heaven. Not one worthy. No one is worthy but the Son. Then the Son became flesh and dwelt among us to save us. The worthy died for the unworthy. This is why this place is for sinners. Because we are all sinners. And Jesus came to save sinners. The church filled with sinners, saved by God, and filled with His Spirit. Now I watched this week as a handful of people came together for 3 days for this mission. We call it VBS, but it's indeed a part of God's mission to seek and save the lost, to love others, to lead children to Jesus, to watch them grow in their faith. All these things happen at VBS. Now, I'll be honest. There was a part of me that did not want to be there. I loved being there and seeing the kids, but most of you know that I am in pain all the time. I think I hide it well, but my wife says I do not. She says this because she knows me and because she sees the other side. It takes all I have to focus for a few hours, and I'm wiped out at the end of the day, and VBS happens at the end of the day. I was struggling. What I saw when I looked around was everyone else coming in straight from work or leaving to go to work and serving these children well. All of our days were stretched, and it had to be realigned to make this VBS possible, and I thank them for it. Seeing their efforts helped drive me. I also know that the other part of me was driven by the Spirit of God. All of us driven by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was moving, or none of it would have taken place. We all had to lean into God's Spirit this week, every one of us. This is how it is supposed to be. When we are weak, He is strong. When we do not know what to say, He fills in the gaps. This is God's Spirit. Our VBS and our volunteers were driven by it. Our participants were driven by it. Nothing lifts you up quite like the smile of a child, the laughter of children, faith moving through young ones. I struggled to be here, and I'm sure others probably did too. I think I speak for everyone in saying we would have missed it for nothing. I think we averaged around 15 each day, and they were all filled with joy as they ran around and sang and danced and made things and ate snacks. They also heard gospel at every opportunity. We had no professions of faith in the moment, though faith was moving freely. This is one of many examples of God's church at work. God works in churches through His people to spread the gospel. This is the beginning. It was the beginning in Philippi, and it is the beginning in every one of us. The gospel is the beginning. Paul goes on to say that it will be completed. Every work has a completion. God began a work in Philippi, and He would complete it. What did this mean to them? Well, to them, remember they were planted by Paul. These Christians likely heard the gospel from Paul. He was with them when they began, and then he left. Remember where this church is, the first church planted this far west by Paul. The further west you go in this region, the closer to Rome you get. The further away from the birth of Christianity you get, the further away from Jewish traditions. Jews were not believers in Jesus, but they did believe in God the Father. They followed His ways mostly, but added some of their own. Still, you think it was bad to be a Christian in a Jewish area under Roman rule. How about closer to Rome? The closer you get to Rome, the more like Rome it is. The more multicultural it is, the more idolatrous it is, the more focused on Caesar it is. So Paul, the reason why this church exists and many others in this area, has been with them and now has left them to face the world in their faith and on their own. What else? Paul is in prison. This was bad news. It meant he was not coming back as soon as he would like to. It also meant that their leader now has a stigma about him. Prison carried with it a weight of dishonor and unworthiness. They probably started seeing a lot of, hey, you guys are with Paul, aren't you? Do you know where he is? They assumed association would have been with the vile, with the criminal. These accusations would have been from Romans. Romans knew the one with it, the one who was with them was in jail. The Romans knew this church believed in the same things as the one in jail. This is likely why the encouragement in this letter. This is likely why so much joy is being shown. Paul knows what waits for them outside of their belief circle. Paul knows what is trying to get in. The world will always try to get in and then tear the faith apart from the inside. He has seen it everywhere he has gone. Paul is screaming to stand firm. Cling to your faith. I have joy in prison because of Jesus, so you guys can still find joy too. God is with you. He will not leave you. He will complete what he started. Amen. Heavy persecution. And now Paul is in prison. These words have some weight to the Philippians. Can we see the weight of it? How about us? What does it say to us? What does this text say to us? God began something in you. It is not from you, but from God. It is a gift. It must be this way because anything from us would be unsustainable. Anyone trying to exercise every day? Anyone trying to eat healthy every day? Anyone trying to save money instead of spending it? How's it going? Exercising every day? Are you eating right every day? Are you putting that money away or buying that thing? How's it going? Now apply those efforts to saving yourself. It cannot be done. God began it, and he will sustain it. He will complete it. This is what Jesus is telling us in John when he says, his sheep hear his voice and follow him, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of his hand. Praise God for this. Amen. I think often the Christian community gets caught up in this text or that text when discussing these kinds of issues. There are some who believe you can lose your salvation. They point to people turning from Jesus in text, or they point to people who have turned in their lives. They know people. Whatever the points are on both sides, we often make these discussions more complicated than they need to be. What do I mean? Well, as humans, we generally argue over everything. The best sports teams, the best ice cream, the best car manufacturer, toilet paper roll over or under. We all have our favorites, and we are unwavering. Here's the problem. Scripture does not play favorites. It is God's holy word, and it never changes, and it is always true. Even when it hurts your feelings or says something against you, it is still true. So the answers are in the text, and the answers only point in one direction. This means the Bible cannot teach both assurance of your salvation and the ability to lose your salvation. Some issues do get more complicated, but not this one. It is one or the other, and we make it complicated. Let's make it easy. What does our text say today? What God has begun in you, he will complete. Meaning that your faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside of you seals the deal. It does not say he will complete unless you change your mind or unless you sin again. It says completed. It will be finished. You will be carried on to heaven, either when the return of Christ happens, as the text states, or when you die and meet Him in heaven. Completion is completion is completion. We get confused because we see people proclaim and they never come back. We see people who were once a part of God's family and now having nothing to do with them. This has to do with our perceptions and emotions, but it has nothing to do with the issue. Remember, sheep or goats. Remember, sheep hear His voice and follow Him. And the only difference is the Spirit within them. Amen. That's the only difference. We know, Matthew 7 tells us, there will be people in the end who thought they were doing all the right things but never knew Jesus. Amen. Never had a real belief. So people walking away may not have ever had salvation, have never had Spirit in their lives. This may be the case when they walk away. But we also have the prodigal son. There are low moments in our lives. So they may have the Spirit. But also, there are people who are always in church, who will hear the words, "Never knew you." Some people walk away and they know they are not a believer. They know they need the gospel to change them still. That's scary. But what's scarier is people who have always had a Bible on their shelf will hear, "Never knew you." This is meant to scare us, and it should scare us. It should lead us to examining our faith. The real question to come out of this is, do you believe? Has the gospel changed your heart? Has it changed your life? Is Jesus more to you than your sins? Amen. Not that you never sin. Not that you never fall short. Is the Spirit in your life? Do you have the gift from God? Scripture says search for it. It says find it. It says cling to it. It says if it's yours, it is yours forever. Is it yours? That was more than one question. Don't worry about what you have done. Don't worry about who says what about you. Is Jesus your Savior? Is the question. And if the answer is no, then run to Him. Hit your knees. Cast your sins and your worries aside. Leave no doubts. Run to the gospel on our pages. Find yourself at the cross and be transformed by the Spirit of God. Then the eternal life in John 3:16 applies to you. Then I am sure of this. What God has started in you, He will complete. Do not lose hope in a God who has given everything for you. His Son on the cross for you. Do you believe? As we wind down today and prepare to leave and hopefully come back shortly for food and fun and hopefully dry conditions. What can we see from Paul today? Make sure your faith is real. Test it. Confirm it. Check for it in your life. Check your heart for it. And then be encouraged by his words. Let them set upon your soul. I am sure of this. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Your worries are great. Your sorrows are heavy. No one knows what you carry around. Finances, relationships, heartaches, illnesses, losses. There are many others. Everyone has something, and God knows. He is with us. He is comfort in His Word, in our prayers, in the loved ones we have in this place. That is what this place is for. It is for comfort. and support through other believers. Do not leave today and feel like you are alone. This is the whole reason this letter was written to this church. Paul desperately wanted everyone in Philippi and every believer to ever read his words to know you are not alone. Take courage and find joy are his pleas to us all. And remember, the God who saved you by sending his Son will never leave you. Will complete what he started in your life. It may not be the life you thought you would have. It may not look anything like your dreams. It may be full of sorrow and mistakes, but it will also be full of his Spirit and his comfort, and it will end in your heart being completed. Your joy being found to be endless. It will end with well done, good and faithful servant. And then eternity in heaven. Do not lose hope. If you need to speak to someone about your salvation, please do so today. It does not have to be me. Find someone in this room that you know, that you trust. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And you will find God beginning something in you. And you will know completion in heaven is coming too. Bring your hearts to God as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day again. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for Paul and his letters of encouragement. His letters of joy. We thank you that he had a heart that was concerned for this church, concerned for the spread of your gospel, a heart that was full of passion and full of your Spirit. Father, help us see these words as a cry to our life. Help us hold these words dear to our heart. Help us live out these words for others as we leave this place. What God has begun in us, we know you will complete in us. We know this. But we know everyone outside of this place needs it too. Jesus is everyone's only hope. Father, help us carry this as we leave here today. Be with us. Keep us safe. Keep us focused on you. In Jesus' name, I pray.